Welcome into the Poetry Tavern, a place to discuss both reading and writing poetry, spotlighting new poems and ideas every week. Hello all, and welcome into another episode of the Poetry Tavern. I'm your host, as always, Charlotte, and this week's episode is going to be all about poems to do with the radio. The radio is a thing that's been around for a while. I mean, it's been around all my life. I remember learning about, like, pirate radio stations, which is really cool. But there's so many different kind of radio stations that I don't feel like there's a need for that now. And also, like, you can just go and look music up on YouTube. I mean, you get ads, but you get ads on the radio, so. Anyway, before I waffle on, let's get into it. Our first poem is Radio by Tom Clark. Don't hurt the radio, for against all solid testimony, machines have feelings too. Brush past it lightly with a fine regard for allowing its molecules to remain 100% intact. Machines can think like Wittgenstein, and the radio is a machine thinking softly to itself of the midnight flower as her tawny parts unfold. In slow motion, the boat rocks on the ocean as her tawny parts unfold. The radio does something mental to itself, singingly as her tawny parts unfold inside its wires and steal away its heart. 2 minutes after 11, the colour dream communicates itself. The ink falls on the paper as if magically. The scalp falls away. A pain is felt deep in the radio. I take out my larynx and I put it on the blue chair and do my dance for the radio. It's my dance in which I kneel in front of the radio and, while remaining motionless elsewise, force my eyeballs to come as close together as possible, while uttering a horrible and foreign word, which I cannot repeat to you without now removing my larynx and placing it on the blue chair. The blue chair isn't here, so I can't do that trick at the present time. The radio is thinking a few licks of its own. Pianistic thoughts attuned to tomorrow's grammar, beautiful spars of seltzery coition, plucked notes like sandpaper attacked by Woody Woodpecker. The radio said Edwardian farmers from Minnesota march on the mafia armed with millions of radioactive poker chips. The radio fears foul play. It turns impersonal, a piggy bank was smashed. A victim was found naked. Radio, how can you tell me this in such a chipper tone? Your structure of voices is a friend, the best kind. The kind one can turn on or off whenever one wants to, but that is wrong, I know. For you will intensely continue, and in a deeper way you do. Hours go by, and I watch you as you diligently apply a series of audible frequencies to tiny receptors located inside my cranium, resulting in much pleasure for someone who looks like me, although he is seated about 2 inches to my left, and the both of us listening to your every word with a weird misapprehension. It's the last of the 10th, and Harmon Kilburn is up with a man aboard. He blasts a game-winning home run, the 559th of his career, but no one cares, because the broadcast is studio monitored for taping to be replayed in 212 years. Heaven must be like this. Radio, to not care about anything, because it's all being taped for a replay much later. Heaven must be like this, for as her tawny parts unfold, the small lights swim roseate, as if of sepals where the tarp are made, as it is invisible, unrolled, and sundown gasps its old Ray Charles, 45 of Georgia, only through your voice. I'll admit it, this one's weird. There are bits of it where I'm like, oh, this makes perfect sense, and there are bits of it where I'm like, oh, we've gone off the deep end into a place that will take me hours of fun little nitpicking and Google searching and all of that to unpick. But there was bits of it I really liked without unpicking it. This poem is going to sit with me for a while, and if I come back in like a year and I'm just like, I found all of this stuff out that's in this poem and I like changed my opinion of it greatly, don't be surprised. But like in the beginning it seems to be talking about the radio having feelings, and later on it talks about the radio talking to you like a friend. I think that there's this really interesting thing of, like, having someone else's voice in your ear almost feels like you have a constant companion. So it wouldn't be amiss to think that the radio has feelings because you're treating it like someone who's close to you. There are parts of it where it's like, maybe this is what heaven is like because they're recording everything for playback. Sort of like retribution, or like, this is how divine justice is done, because they see everything and they play it back until they know for certain whether it's good or bad, which I think is really interesting. I like the stuff of it doesn't really matter anymore if we catch it live because it will just be played back eventually. Really interesting. There's loads and loads and loads of little things crammed into this poem, like cultural references and just like the humanization of the radio, but also the humanization of that connection between the person and not the voice on the other end, but the radio itself, which is so interesting. I could waffle on about this for a while, and I probably still wouldn't catch it all because, again, I would have to do hours of research. Like, genuinely, this is so packed full. It's like a really weird stew, and I don't understand what a potato is. Anyway, before I come up with another weird metaphor for just saying, like, this has loads of stuff in it, let me move on. Alright, so the next poem is First Radio by Michael McPhee. A plastic transistor from Japan, Aqua with black vinyl straps from chrome trim, an ear-sized speaker, dials like nails, perfect in the pocket as a pack of cigarettes, its hidden heart pulsing over mine. At lunch, at recess, on the bus, each forelead strained to crack the glamorous code of the World Series, pinching bright flags to foil around the bent antenna, hoping to attract Mantle or Kofar or Gibson. And at night, planted under my pillow, like a tooth, like a magic seed, I'd fall asleep to top 40 big city DJs bouncing off cloud cover thousands of miles away, better than any answered prayer. Alright, this one's a lot more simple. I mean, not to say it's bad, but like, it's just a lot more straightforward than the other one. It's clearly about this person's, this narrator's, like, first experience with the radio and having, like, this feeling of keeping it close and trying to capture the sounds. I mean, I've always had radio in my life, so it's a bit difficult to imagine what it would have been like, because it sort of becomes background noise when you grow up with it. But imagining, like, you've never had radio before, and, like, there is a fascination with the fact that this is live, and you are trying to catch onto it and hold it, is so, so interesting. And, like, the idea of it bouncing off cloud cover, just, it's so fun, and it's like this sweet little thing that's also a memory. It's like reminiscent. It's so delightful. And you can feel the nostalgia baked into this poem. I originally found this poem on a funeral website, which maybe says something about it. It is this sort of poem of remembrance. So interesting. I just really enjoyed this one. Yeah, that's it for this show. Thank you guys for coming into the tavern today. We've got a really special episode next episode because we have our first guest. We are welcoming Mark Spencer Turner onto the show. He's going to come in and talk to us for a little bit. So look forward to that. That will be next episode. Thanks guys for coming in. I really appreciate it. See you next time. Bye.